Be reading for your hearing. King James Version. Okay. Realizing I don't have my glasses this morning. That's all right. Amen. Oh, I'm okay, Pastor. Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Feel free to join me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And if you'll quickly just turn to the 27th Psalm, and we're looking at verse 13 and 14.
Amen.
Verse 13, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
Yeah.
Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Praise God.
My man.
For a topic this morning, you may be seated. Thank you for standing.
Amen.
We're talking about the goodness of God. Amen. The goodness of God. And the three points we'll be talking about, the goodness of God, two, the goodness of God, and three, the goodness of God. Amen.
Amen.
If you'll just join me in prayer. God, my Savior, my Lord, my Waymaker, my strong tower, my peace over troubled water, my God, Jesus Christ, my good news, Father, Savior, my great comforter, I seek your very face right now, God. I seek your presence, God. Fill this vessel with your word, God. Use me to teach and restore, God, to encourage your people today. I ask you right now to stand up, God. Sit me down, God. Greatly divide your word, God. We need a word from you, God. Have your way, Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. As I began to prepare for this morning's sermon, the Holy Spirit deposited the words, the goodness of God. It was a few weeks ago, and I just felt great, refreshed. Amen. And then I waited because I thought there'll be more, because to date, every sermon that I've had has been heavy. It's been heavy. It's been deep. It's been even difficult to deliver. It's been taxing. So I was just excited. So when I began my study and I said, let me open the concordance, praise God, and I just looked at goodness, instead of it starting with a list of scriptures and cross references, there was this short paragraph, and I'll read it to you. Goodness. When God revealed himself to Moses on Mount Sinai, he described himself, that is God. God described himself as overflowing with goodness. This goodness is one of the most significant words that describe God's character, and is translated as mercy or loving kindness, referring to God's loyalty and his faithfulness, his covenant with us. And in the New Testament, this goodness is translated as grace. Amen. What good news right away. Amen. God's description of himself, when Moses said to him, Yahweh, I want to experience your presence. I want to see you. I don't want to just hear from you. I don't want to just see bushes burning. I want to see you. I want to spend some time with you. I want to be in your presence.
Yeah.
And God said to him in Exodus chapter 33, excuse me, I will make all my goodness to pass before you. Mm-hmm. It reads, and he said, And we're talking about God speaking to Moses. And he said, I will make all my goodness to pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. Moses had said to God, I beseech thee, God, show me thy glory. And that was God's response. I will allow my goodness to pass before you. He did have to say to him, you're not going to be able to see my face, Moses. Any man that sees my face, he's not going to live through the experience. Amen. So, but what I will do for you is I will hide you in a cliff, in a cleft in the rock. I will set my hand over you to protect you from the glory of my presence. And I will allow my goodness to just wave across you. Amen. Excuse me, y'all, just bear with me. Right now, this morning, God, hallelujah. I'm asking you, Lord, I beseech you, Moses. I beseech you just as Moses did. Show us your glory, God. We want your goodness, God. We want your loving kindness, God. We want your mercy, God. We want your grace, God. Just pass before us, God. Let us dwell in this space with you right now, God. This morning, God, let your goodness just pass on before us. This is the character of God. We're not talking about what he looks like, right? We're not talking about every thought that's had. We're talking about his character. And your character is who you are when you're all by yourself and there's nobody to check you, right? We're talking about God's character. Our focus scripture, Psalms 23, like we said, an oldie but a goodie. We've read the scripture, but I want to direct you to the sixth verse. Surely, it's a declaration. After discussing how good God has been and that there's not a worry, it says, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Excuse me. Again, goodness is one of the most significant descriptions of God's character. And this goodness is translated, I say it to you again to make sure you understand, it's translated as loving kindness and mercy. We must come to understand the goodness of God is his loyalty and his faithfulness. He will not break his covenant. He cannot, for he is God. He is not man that he would lie. It is his faithfulness and his loyalty. He is not a man. He's not lying to you. He will keep his promises. For us living today, the great thing about this is God has already kept his promise. Christ has already come in the flesh. We've already experienced the Messiah. His blood has been shed.
Amen.
The opportunity for eternal life is here for us. Amen. The opportunity to live forever in the presence of God has already been answered. It's up to us whether we'll accept the call.
Amen.
God has kept his promise. Every promise. Consider this. After God had kept every promise to the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, and he had delivered them into the promised land of milk and honey, Joshua built an altar to God and proclaimed, and he built this altar before they even got fully across the Jordan River. God had said to pick up some stones and some rocks so that you would be prepared to build an altar on the other side. And the children of Israel had gathered these stones and these rocks to build the altar on the other side. And when the children of Israel had followed Joshua's command from God, consecrate yourselves, get cleaned up, get ready. The Jordan River is before us, and we're just, God said, just step in. Just step in. And I'm going to stop it from flowing. It's just going to build up on either side. And the children are passing through. But Joshua stops in the midst before he gets to the other side. And he builds an altar that he's not going to be able to see again. He builds an altar that only he and God are going to be able to commune with, right? He builds this altar. But he says when they get to the other side, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We, too, are in a reality where God has already kept his promises. Joshua said to them, when we came out of Egypt, God made us this promise. He promised to bring us over here to this promised land. Our fathers and our mothers were not obedient. They did not make it out of the wilderness. But here we are, despite their disobedience. And God has given all of this to us. And we haven't done anything to earn it. A land that's vibrant and the harvest is plenty and There's not a need for us to do anything to earn it. He's given it to us. He's gifted it to us. We're in that same position right now. The goodness of God. He's already kept his promise. He said early in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, I'm going to send a Messiah. I'm going to right this wrong. I'm going to right this. You've sinned. It's okay. I'm going to come in a manner and shed my blood for you, that if you accept me, if you believe in me with your heart and you confess with your mouth, then my blood is yours. It will make you righteous. There's not anything you have to do to earn my goodness. It is the character of God. Do you understand? It is the character of God. I just bless and praise the Lord, because right now this is just about worship. Amen. This is just about worship and celebration. Amen. On the goodness of God, how great and merciful he is. Amen. He's so good. He's so good. Do you understand? Because of Christ, God in the form of man, his life is crucifixion, his death is resurrection, and his return. Yes. Sitting on the right hand of God, God has fulfilled his promise to give us life and to give it to us more abundantly. Yes. We still have to wait for his triumphant return.
Amen.
But the promise is made.
Yes.
The work to be done is ours.
Yes.
Amen? He's kept his promises.
Yes.
Yet day to day, in our experience on earth, we experience our adversary. Satan is going to and fro, walking up and down. As Ephesians 6:12 tells us, we fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Our human lives have mountaintop and valley experiences. Consider Moses again. He's seeking the presence of God, and God allows him to experience all of his goodness on Mount Sinai. That was a mountaintop experience, a peak life experience for Moses. But when Moses descends from that mountain, he finds the children of Israel murmuring against God and building a golden calf. See, when the children of Israel were being brought out of Egypt, God said, pause. I'm going to enrich you. He said, pause. And all of this gold and riches from the Egyptians came to them. So they didn't leave with nothing. They may have been enslaved in Egypt. They may have been set aside to the least desirable place to live in the area, right? They may have been controlled. They may have been limited in what they could have. But before they left that land, God said, I'm going to enrich you with gold. And the children of Israel have made this journey. And Moses has gone up to the mountain to experience and get instructions from God. This is when he's going to get the Ten Commandments. And the children of Israel begin to murmur and concern. Well, is Moses coming back? We don't understand what's going on up there. And they take that gold, that gift, and they begin literally building an idol, a golden calf, to worship the gods in Egypt. So Moses went from a peak life experience down into a valley. Literally, a valley experience. He descends into that experience. We all have those peaks and those valleys, those ups and those downs. But the goodness of God. Right now, today, church, as a church and as believers, we can attest to both peaks and valleys. Be encouraged. Celebrate the goodness of God and the goodness of his presence. Have a Joshua experience. Have a Joshua experience. The trouble before Joshua, the divide between him and the promised land, was the Jordan River. And just as God instructed Joshua and the children of Israel, he said, consecrate yourself. Get in line with God. Seek him. Confess. Clean up. I'm taking you into a new place. And I'm here to tell you that that promise is still consistent. You find yourself in a valley place. You have troubled water in front of you, all around you, in a storm. Doesn't matter. Clean up. Consecrate yourself. Get ready to move forward. Get ready to move forward. Because God promised this time won't last always. There's light on the other side of this. The dawn in the morning will come. Amen. Amen. The goodness of God is promised already. You don't have to do anything to earn it. You don't have to do anything to get it. He's got a land of milk and honey right there for you. Everything you need. Have you ever had an experience? Can you look back and say, I was in a world of trouble?
Yeah.
And you can't explain how you got on this side of it?
Yeah.
Who can add one cubit to his stature by thinking and rationalizing?
Yeah.
Which of us? Which of us? Everything comes from God.
Amen.
His goodness is great.
Amen.
His mercy endureth.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Consecrate yourself. Get in line with God. It's not going to be a bed of roses.
Yeah.
It's not going to be a bed of roses. It's not a promise to us as Christians that every day will be easy.
Amen.
It's not a promise to us as Christians that we won't experience the hardships of life.
Amen.
That's not a promise God made to us. You've got to step boldly into that Jordan River. Step boldly into that trouble before you.
Yes.
Because the goodness of God is all about you. Yes. See, in the Old Testament, they had a promise of a Messiah. That one day, God was going to come and make it so that they could have everlasting life. Be in the presence of God again. But today, the Messiah has already come. The goodness of God for us is grace.
Yeah.
The price is paid.
Yeah.
The blood of Jesus shed for you. Step boldly into your valley experience and know just as the Jordan River stopped flowing for Joshua and the Israelites, your valley experience, your troubled water can stop flowing because the goodness of God, his loyalty and his faithfulness, his loving kindness, his grace, his mercy, every experience, every mountain peak, every valley low is perfectly orchestrated for your good. And when the enemy seems to be in control, what the adversary intends for your harm, God will ultimately use it for your good. But don't forget, consecrate yourself, clean it up, confess with your heart and your mouth, get in line with God. He will allow the entire universe to work in your favor. Amen.
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 On the other hand, speaking about peak life experiences, when you're on the top of the world and you can't think of a trouble, you can't remember the last time something was hard, have a Mount Sinai experience and beseech the Lord like Moses did. Ask him for his presence. Ask with a pure heart for all of his goodness to pass before you. Seek to build, increase, to prosper your relationship with God. You know how the 23rd Psalm can pull you out of worry and remind you of who God is?
Yeah.
Growing your relationship with him during a peak experience creates a stronger and a lofty safety net.
Yeah.
Amen? The 23rd Psalm will catch you and pull you up out of despair. But a true friendship with Christ, a relationship with God the Father, won't just catch you. It will spring you back up to your peak experience while in the valley. Even though you're experiencing hardship, you can have a peak experience. Have you ever known someone to be experiencing true hardship, but they're full of joy and victory?
Yeah.
Amen? It doesn't mean that the rent all of a sudden got paid somehow. Right? It doesn't mean that the reduction in pay, I just heard about some folks getting laid off. It doesn't mean that that stopped, but it means that that relationship with God, it not only caught them, but it sent them right back up to the experience with the Father where you know without a doubt that his goodness is enough for you. His goodness is enough for you. I promise you that having that experience with God is so worthwhile. If you're in a peak experience, work on your relationship. Work on your relationship with God. We are never in a place in our lives where the goodness of God is not relevant or necessary. He wants us to seek him. He has feelings. He wants our unadulterated pure heart worship because it delights him. All right. Getting close. Part two, the goodness of God. Turn back in your Bibles quickly. If you remember, it's okay. Psalms 27, verse 13 and 14. I'll read it for you. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord and the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. I say, wait on the Lord. As we celebrate the goodness of God and worship him, we must remember the brokenhearted among us. Need a little medicine. The soft spots within us, our weaknesses, we must be steadfast, because it is in those experiences with the brokenhearted and in those soft spots of our weakness that Satan is the most cunning. This book is your sword. It is written with access to everything you need to be victorious against the enemy. And these verses that I just read are examples. David said in verse 13, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He's talking about being pursued by his enemies. False witnesses, liars are rising up against him. He seems to be lost in his fear of the enemy. But in verse 12, just before that, he talks about those coming against him. But in verse 13, he says, I would have fell out if I had not known that God had my back. I would have fell out if I had not known for a fact that I was going to see and experience the goodness of God. He's saying I would have passed out in fear if I did not believe God would keep his promises, God's goodness. This word is powerful and provides a fortress against any attack of the enemy. Writing those words upon your heart so you can speak to the enemy as it comes is so necessary. Just as David understood and experienced the goodness of God, you speak over your valley. You speak over your fear. You speak over your broken heart. You speak over your depression. You speak over your enemy. You speak over illness. You speak over your worries. You speak over anything that does not seem to be of God. You speak over anything that's ailing you. The smallest thing that hurts, the littlest bit of your feelings, you speak over it. I would have fell out and fainted if I had not known for a fact that I would see the blessings of God. Amen? Yeah. Believer, Christian, prayer, work, come on. The God we serve, he is faithful. He keeps his promises. I'm not saying snap out of any hard time, and I'm not suggesting life would be a bed of roses or popsicles like my grandmother would give me just before she gave me a piece of pound cake. It's not going to be like that every day. Not all of our valley experiences are easy. They're never easy. But it's in those experiences that we learn to lean upon the Lord. We have opportunities to grow our faith and our relationship with God. That friendship with Christ does not just appear when you accept, him in your life. Yeah. It's a hard-earned relationship through peaks and valleys. What I'm saying is, in our valleys, we have access to the goodness of God. Sword.
Amen.
Swords up.
Amen.
Lastly, the goodness of God.
Yeah.
I'm going to read verse 13 one more time. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. I say, wait on the Lord.
Be
encouraged. David finishes the 27th Psalm by saying, wait on the Lord. Yeah. Let's put it in context. In verse 13, he says, I would have passed out, I would have fainted.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Let's refresh ourselves on the goodness. He that is God, he described himself as overflowing with goodness. He told Moses, this is who I am. This is who my character is. This goodness is one of the most significant words that describes God's character. Remember, it's translated as mercy and loving kindness, referring to God's loyalty and his faithfulness. Now, I can't wait on God. Now, I can wait on God. I can wait courageously knowing God's character is overflowing with goodness. I can wait on him because he's loyal. I can wait on him because that goodness is free. He's a promise keeper and a burden bearer. Always knowing, always present, all consuming. He's almighty. He is the most high. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. Amen. Every knee's going to bow. Hallelujah. I bow down right now. I confess right now. Rock, shut up. I'll praise him myself. God, I bless your holy and righteous name. Let's just celebrate the goodness of God. Be encouraged, church. It is always my aim to encourage you. What a good and mighty God we serve. As I was taught as a young woman, peak and valley, swords up. I would have fainted if I had not believed on the goodness of God.
Yeah.
My Lord and my Savior, I could not make it through this without my faith,
yeah.
Without my salvation intact, if I did not believe in the goodness of God.
Yeah.
Wait, I say, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to a recent sermon from Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church. We pray that you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church is located at 16813 Huff Smith Corville Road, Houston, Texas, 77070. Our Sunday worship services are held at 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m., with Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. Please come out and join us for worship, study, and fellowship, where our motto is, "We are the branch, but He is the vine."